right. If the clerk will please announce counsel who will be arguing today. And I will point out that Mr. Worley has supplied the court with a handout, and I presume, Mr. Johnson, you all have received a copy of that. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
May it please the court, this is Amanda Johnson, who argues for the appellant.
All right, Mr. Johnson.
May it please the court. Good morning, Your Honors. Mr. Worley. This appeal and cross appeal have two really main issues. And the first is the width of this public road, which was impliedly dedicated. Second issue is the trial court's discretion to sanction a party for publicly disclosing confidential settlement discussions. I'd like to solely address the first issue, the width of the roadway, in my short time with you today. There is no question in this case that the roadway on Mr. Stinson's property was publicly dedicated. The trial court jury so found that, the trial court found it, and opposing a party has not appealed that. So we have a public road that was built onto or a part of a county road 307 that went through Somerville County, and then on Mr. Stinson's property was in Hood County, and that attached my client's property, the orchards, to this is the only way in and out of my client's property. The trial court correctly found that this was a public road, but further found that the disputed roadway is a public road of 12.2 feet in width. I'm not a math genius, but I'm pretty sure that's about 4 yards, if you can put that in your head. Very short roadway. The trial court found this based upon a jury finding, asking about the width of the roadway, and we filed a motion to disregard the jury finding, which the trial court denied. So the issue for this appeal is, how does a court determine the width of a publicly dedicated, impliedly dedicated road? There are three potential answers to this question, but none of those answers is 12.2. None of the answers is what the jury found and what the trial court put in its judgment. Why is 12.2 not factually supportable? Well, first of all, it's not legally supportable because opposing counsel in his closing argument argued to the jury that, well, you take the narrowest point of the roadway, and that is how you judge the width of the easement for the entire thing. There is not a case in Texas that I'm aware of that supports that. There's not a case in any jurisdiction that I'm aware of that supports that. It's not the narrowest point. And this is the perfect example of why not, because their example of the narrowest point is a gate and cattle guard that is actually exists on my client's property, on the orchard's property. And as we've all driven through ranches before, you know that you approach the gate. If there's a car there, you let them get by, and then you go over the cattle guard. Cattle guards usually are fairly short. You don't have a lot of space in them. And so the roadway on both sides of the cattle guard is wider than the cattle guard itself. In fact, there is no evidence that this 12.2 spacing of the cattle guard is the correct spacing on any portion of the roadway on Mr. Stinson's property. So why would, and this once again, the issue is whether Mr. Stinson publicly dedicated the roadway. He did. So the issue is, what is the width of the roadway on his property, not the width of the roadway on my client's property. So there's no evidence to support 12.2.
But I thought some of the trial exhibits did contain surveys that indicated good portions of the roadway were a 12.2 width, as well as the gate and the cow guard.
Your Honor, my understanding is that there was a expert and it was an expert that prepared a survey, if you will, mm-hmm. that has measurements at certain portions of the roadway. And none of those portions is 12.2. I think the narrowest was around 16, but the average is around 20. And that was, I believe, Plaintiff's Exhibit 9, and I believe Defendant's Exhibit 51. And it is in the materials that Mr. Worley has provided the court. I believe it's the very last handout.
Okay. Thank you.
You can see that by the Orchards Boulevard is 12.2, and then the rest of the way primarily is over 20 feet. There is one 16.6. So how do you judge the width of a publicly dedicated roadway? The correct way of doing it is what is reasonably necessary for the use and convenience of the public. And I cite to the court to Graff versus Berry, 2008, Tex App Lexus, 2069. This case dealt with an impliedly dedicated roadway, and the issue was, how do you determine the width? And the court looked at, well, is it just the beaten path? Is it just the roadway that was used? Or is it something else? And the court found that, no, it is what is reasonably necessary for the public to use the road, and it's to be determined at the time that the public use is determined. This space would include drainage ditches, spacing for repairs, and the convenience of the traveling public. So it's not limited to just the actual roadway. It's more than that. And I would also cite the court to an AG opinion, 2009 Tex AG Lexus 10, that holds just that, that the impliedly dedicated roadway is not limited to a beaten path used, but includes sufficient land where reasonably available for drainage ditches, repairs, and the convenience of the traveling public. They get this from a Texas Supreme Court case, Allen versus Keeling, 613 Southwest 2nd, 253. That was a case that dealt with a prescriptive easement, public easement. But the Graff case and the AG opinion said the same test should apply, whether it's prescriptive or whether it's implied or dedicated. And in that vein, a case that I think is really on point is Robinson Water Company versus Say, 545 Southwest 2nd, 253. This was a case where a trial court denied a public roadway, and they appealed it. And the Court of Appeals found, yes, there was a public roadway. So then the issue is, well, how wide was it? And the evidence in the case showed that the actual roadway was only 20 feet. The Court of Appeals found, however, that they got a 35-foot public easement. The court found that an additional 5 feet for these purposes, meaning drainage, repairs, convenience, along the north side of the existing roadway, plus the area between the existing road and the south boundary of the sea tracks, is not unreasonable here, making the roadway easement for the existing road across the 0.915-acre tract 35 feet wide. So this case is exactly on point, talking about measurements and how it's really something other than just the beaten path. Here we have an expert, Mr. Morgata, who looked at deeds, looked at surveys, actually went out there and did laser measurements. He is the one that this exhibit was created from, his measurements. He testified that based upon his review of all these documents, there was a 52-foot wide public right-of-way. And he discussed curbs and sidewalks and the kind of things that are necessary for making that determination. That is the correct, and that is the only evidence in this case from either side with regard to what is a reasonable amount of space for a roadway over Mr. Stinson's property. And it's important because there was evidence that this was the only route for emergency vehicles to get in and out of my client's subdivision. If you have a 4-yard roadway and you have an ambulance coming down there, is that convenient for the public? Is that safe? Absolutely not. Moreover, there was evidence that there was hills and valleys, and so if you're cresting over a hill and you had a car coming up the other side and you only have essentially one lane of traffic, you can see how you could have accidents. So the only evidence in this case is that for the convenience and safety of the traveling public, as a matter of law, the easement in this case should be 52 feet.
What in your mind, though, is the difference between a prescriptive easement and an implied dedication? In other words, they're both really kind of based on a fiction that the courts allowed this jury to find. Because the implied dedication maybe means that the parties didn't actually authorize this, quote, to the public. They obviously authorized it to the neighboring individual landowners.
Well, of course, there are elements for both different, for the prescriptive and for impliedly dedicated. To me, prescriptive easement is where I'm taking it. It's adverse possession. I am taking it from you. And you sit back and you don't defend your rights for a certain period of time. Not that I make any affirmative steps or any affirmative communications that would make you think you have a right. Whereas implied dedication is, I do things. I don't necessarily file a plat or make a public written announcement that I'm expressly giving, dedicating this to the public. But nonetheless, I am making certain actions that would communicate to the public that it is open for public.
What did the evidence show as far as the timing of when the landowners allegedly made this, quote, public dedication?
The evidence in the case is that for 50 years, this roadway was used for the public and was maintained by public dollars. I mean, this is a paved roadway, and I believe the evidence is that Somerville County paved it, 307, and then going into Hood County. The evidence is that they paved it into Hood County. And there was some evidence about how that happens, and counties make that arrangements routinely.
So, Mr. Johnson, your position is basically that you can't have a roadway dedicated to public use that's 12.2 feet wide, period.
That's correct. And that gets perfectly into my second issue, Your Honor, which is the fact that the Texas Transportation Code, Chapter 251, deals with public roads, and that section provides that in section 254.007, I'm sorry, 251.007, that a county commissioner shall classify every public road in the county as either a first class, second class, or third class road. The statute then provides that with regard to a third class road, the minimum width is 20 feet. So in Texas, if you have a public road, the minimum width is 20 feet. And this statute doesn't apply just to statutorily created highways, i.e. eminent domain. It applies to any public highway. And I would cite the court to a Texas Attorney General opinion from 2002, JC-0503, which states that in general, a public road is either statutory, eminent domain, or it's also prescriptive, and it's also by dedication. So all three of those is a public road, and this statute would apply to it. I would also cite the court to 3-9 AMJUR 2nd, which is Highway, Streets, and Bridges, Section 58. And it provides that statutes that give a minimum distance or width for highways will control. That's the presumption for what a public roadway will be. Here we have several cases. Dallin versus Clapper, which is a very similar case that we have in our briefing, where you have a 20-foot roadway, and the court found that the actual easement was 30 feet and relied partially upon the statute, in effect. I don't think it was a transportation code, but whatever it was in 1964, which was the same statute, and said, no, it's 30 foot because of the statute. We also have Hill Farm versus Hill County, 425 Southwest 2nd, 414. This was dealing with an entity creating a pipeline under a roadway, and there was a lawsuit over that. And so the issue was placement of the pipeline under the roadway. So the width of the roadway was a very important issue in the case. And the court cited to this same statute saying, no, the roadway was 20 feet because the statute says that's what public roads are in Texas. And also, I thought it was on point, from the Illinois Supreme Court, from 398 Northwest 2nd, 297. There's a similar statute in Illinois talking about public roads and having to be at least three rods, which I'm understanding is around 66 feet. And the court found that if you have a public road, that is the presumptive distance, unless they make some affirmative action saying, no, it's narrower than that. So here, Your Honor, you're exactly right. Even if you don't want to give us the reasonably necessary amount, by statute, you have to give us at least 20 feet, and that's what the trial court should have done.
Well, why was that? I'm wondering why the question was submitted to the jury then.
It could have been more than 20 feet. I think if it's below 20 feet, it's immaterial.
Well, was there an objection to the submission of that?
No.
Okay. So what should have been submitted to the jury then was, do you find it's a Class 1, Class 2, or Class 3 road, right?
Well, that's a determination that the county makes, so I don't even know that that would be appropriate to give to the jury.
Okay.
I think, and because it was proved as a matter of law, I don't think this question should have been submitted. You know, you don't submit fact questions if there's not a fact question. And so I think that the question was immaterial because the evidence proved as a matter of law what the width was, which actually gets to my third point. Even if the court, I said there were three ways to do it, reasonably necessary, statutory amount, and thirdly is actual use. And there are several cases in Texas that say you look at the actual width of the roadway. But those cases don't cite any precedent for that standard. I don't think it's the correct standard. I think it's the reasonably necessary amount for public convenience. But even if you go with this third standard, this case was undisputed. Both sides had this exhibit that shows what the widths were. And so, worst case scenario, this is the roadway that my clients get. Not 12.2 for the entire way, but 19.9, 21.9, 24.2, et cetera. And that's very important because if you look at the very first picture that he provides in his outline, you can see that his client intends to give us four. I'm sorry, my time is up. May I
finish your phrase, please? Yes.
Thank you. He intends to put these poles up 12.2, 4 yards apart the entire length of the way. That is not safe for the public. That is not what was intended. And he's going to be cutting off half of the roadway at certain portions by doing that. So the judgment isn't supported by the evidence. We'd ask that this court to please reverse and render for my clients. Thank you, Your Honors.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Johnson. All right. Mr. Worley, reply for Brian Stinson.
It's been way too long since I've been down here. I had to call a couple of friends, ask them how to do this again. Thank you, Johnson. Thank you for this chance to talk to you. I'd like to talk about the statutory matters real quickly. There's not one case in the state of Texas which says the statute of the transportation code applies unless the county commissioners have gone in and done, had minutes, held a meeting, had a jury view, adopted the road, and if all that occurs, then as a matter of law, that's it. They have jurisdiction, they do what they do under the statute. A public road is defined in the transportation code as a one laid out and established according to law. The transportation code provides a methodology of establishing a public road.
But the jury found that the road was a publicly dedicated road.
Right, yes ma'am. I'm talking about whether the statutory transportation code applies to these facts.
So you're saying that the transportation code does not apply to a publicly dedicated road?
Yes, ma'am. And that's
despite
what every,
the fact that the Attorney General's opinion says differently.
Yes, ma'am. And that's what every case. There's cases for public dedicated alleys, narrow roads, dirt roads, and even a water discharge area. The implied dedication applies in a lot of areas. And there's not one case, and there's many cases, that says that a public road of implied dedication must be 20 feet, 60 feet, or whatever. Matter of fact, in the Graff case cited by counsel, the Graff case was against a commissioner, and the commissioner says, we have said it's 60 feet. And the court says, hey, there's no minutes, there's no survey, there's nothing that appears in the county commissioner's minutes as you've shown us. There's no way. The transportation code does not apply, period. That's their case and my case. I cite the same case because it doesn't apply. That's what they say. And I want to back up a little bit because here's the implied dedication. Let's get to the fourth question that the jury found on the dedicated use. There was an offer and acceptance. Okay? So what was, and it's an intentional act. Implied dedication is an intentional act of the owner. What was offered and what was accepted? What was offered, I could offer you 100 feet, but you may only accept 10. What was offered and what was accepted. What this orchard wants to do, and I want you to understand if you look at the first picture here, where is it? Yeah, if you go to the very back, look at the first picture. This cattle guard is the end of this road, this public road. From the narrow end, it's private property, private road. You can only get there if you're invited. No one else can come on that property. It's going to be an electronic gate. You can't get there unless you have a code or someone invites you. So it's not dedicated to public streets. They're private streets. Road stops here.
Mr. Johnson said that the cattle guard's actually on the orchard's property. Do you disagree with that?
No, ma'am.
So actually, there's no part of the impliedly dedicated road that's 12.2 feet because that 12.2 feet is on their property.
No, if the 12.2 feet's right here. It's the link from this post to that post.
And that's on their property.
Well, the posters, I don't know, the cattle guard is behind the post. I think the posts are right on the property line. But if you look at the gate, I mean, if you look at the pictures, I should back up. Well, their exhibit shows on Mr. Stinson's property, exhibit number 9, that the 12.2 feet is on Mr. Stinson's side of the property line. Now, I want to draw up one more attention to this defendant's exhibit 9. You'll see in there some little red hash marks. They count the road all the way out to those hash marks, not just the blue marks. So they got the road wider because they count where there's gravel and things thrown. And if you go to the very first picture here, and by the way, these posts are 14 feet apart, not 12, by the way. But if you go to this very first picture, you'll see the gravel thrown out over here. That's that gravel that's included in that defendant's exhibit 9. They want to count that as part of the roadway. But whatever it is, this road, 12 feet all the way in, the Orchards wants something that for over 60 years we know they've never had. They want a 20-foot access into this property, which was never accepted by either them or the prior owners of this property. What was offered and what was accepted in this offer and donation of implied dedication, the jury found 12.2 feet. Now, this road has been used for over 60 years. They've had fire trucks, they've had ambulances, people have used it. No one's ever complained about it. No one's ever said it's unsafe. The evidence is 12.2 feet is what was offered and what was accepted and what was used and what is reasonable and necessary.
But doesn't Defendant's Exhibit 9 and your corresponding exhibit show that in certain spots along this road there was as much as 24.2 feet, 21.9 feet? Isn't that what those emergency vehicles were using, not 12 feet or 14 feet blocked off by posts?
Get into the Orchards, they use 12.2 feet. That's what they use.
Okay, that wasn't my question, sir. Right. My question was very specifically, okay, on this exhibit, down this road, there are 21.9 feet, 24.2 feet that those emergency vehicles use to get to that cattle guard.
They use 12.2. They use less than 12. They use the width of their vehicle, which is less than 12 feet.
And you know which 12 feet they were driving on?
Whatever the width of their vehicle, that's all they can use.
Okay.
But what was offered and what was accepted and what was maintained by the county in places is in excess of 12 feet.
In places. But you understand, some River County did that by mistake. They were spending county funds outside of their county. And they fully realized their mistake when it was shown to them and said they're never going to touch that property again. Don Lenny from the Hood County Highway Department says he went out there and he looked at the road and it's just fine. They approved that survey that the road, because the road meets all the requirements as it sits right now at 12.2 feet. Didn't require it to be built any longer, any bigger, or anything else. This was approved. I guess my real problem is, question was asked to the jury, how much do you find to be impliedly donated, how much do you find to be accepted, how wide do you find it to be? There's no objections to that jury question. There was no, the problem today is that they don't like the way the jury question was worded. And what we're here today, though, we have evidence that this road was only used prior to the Orchards coming in, that was used by, other than the Stinsons, 3 to 4 cars a week.
But doesn't that fact, if that is correct, doesn't that go to really a challenge of the jury's finding of a true public dedication, whether by implication or not?
There's cases out there that say, it doesn't make any difference how much it's used, and I looked at all that. And in fact, we don't have all the evidence here. I don't have all the evidence. Right. There's evidence that could have happened in 1940 when it was just a gravel road. And that's the other thing is how much was taken at the time it was donated to public use? Not today, not how much the Orchards need for their subdivision, but for that farm that was there for 200 years, that's all they needed. That's all they required.
So do we have a point in time, based upon the evidence, that the dedication was made?
No. I mean, the evidence was all over the place.
Okay.
The other thing is,
and when counsel argued at trial in the closing argument that the road was 12.2 feet wide, was there any objection to that argument based upon the evidence that had been admitted at trial?
I don't recall objection being made during oral? I don't think we I don't think we objected in oral argument about anybody's what they said. It was a very nice. It was fun to try. In that sense, we had good people. The other thing I want to bring out is in the transportation code itself, it provides it a third class road under 251.010. You can have a 10-foot gate. If the county commissioners approve it, you can have a 10-foot gate on a third class road. I mean, once again, so 12.2 feet is not. It's not wrong. The jury had evidence that it was, but not more than one car at a time was using that road. How much was offered? How much was accepted? They used their numbers of 12.2 feet, which is their number on the Stinson side of that gate. They're obviously from the pictures. It's 12 feet back quite a ways. And they want you, what they want you to do is to disregard the jury verdict and substitute your own opinion of what the facts are and give them 20 feet into their property, which they have never had in 60 years. Never had. And there's not one case. Hood County doesn't want this road. They could have, county commissioners could have a meeting, and they could vote in this road as a public road. They could adopt it in their maps. They could adopt it in their list of roads that they're responsible for. But once they do that, they're responsible to maintain it, and they have not done that and have no indication of doing so. In fact, the Hood County roads are somewhat like the different counties have different requirements, and some requirements are 50 feet. I can't remember the case. I read it in summary, and I think Hood County is 60 feet. Minimum 60-foot easement going across the property, but all this is beside the point, because the question is, was there evidence to support the jury's finding of what was offered and what was accepted and what was reasonable for use at the time the road became a public donated road? That's the question, and there was evidence on that point. And since there's evidence on the point, that's where we are. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Worley. Mr. Johnson, rebuttal.
Very briefly, Your Honors. First of all, I guess I'd like to start maybe at the end, which is, you know, this jury determined this is a public road 6-8 months ago. The county, whether Hood County has accepted it or hadn't accepted it, has put it into county commissioner's notes, is outside of the record. And it's pure speculation. I don't know. I haven't asked. They may have done it by now. I don't really know. I think they have a duty to maintain all public roads, and the jury said this is a public road. As to the time of how long it's been dedicated, I know the record shows it's been 50 years, but I would show the court that in 1996, Mr. Stinson got a deed to his property. And that deed shows that County Road 307, a public road, ran through his property. That's what we're talking about here today. So he was on notice that he had this public road that came through his property. Now, he got mad when my client, you know, put in a development. And so he's going to go from one, use to, you know, 60 homeowners. I get that's not a very pleasant thing to have happen. But it doesn't change the effect of this public roadway that was clearly indicated on his deed. We're not complaining about the wording of the jury charge. That's not what you do when you file a legal sufficiency challenge. You challenge, juries make mistakes. Not often, but sometimes they make mistakes. And sometimes there's no evidence to support what a jury finds. Sometimes the evidence proves the exact opposite of what the jury finds. Same for bench trials. And parties have the right to file a legal sufficiency challenge. That's what we've done here today. So we're not complaining about the wording of the question. The question was irrelevant because the evidence proved as a matter of law what the width should be. And also,
I have a question for you.
Yes, Your Honor.
If the evidence is legally insufficient to show 12.2, then there's been one element established, which is the public roadway. But the evidence is legally insufficient as to the width. I mean, and there's disputed evidence as to the entire width of the roadway. So it feels like you're asking us to render on a fact issue.
Well, and I think this court would have jurisdiction to remand for further determination of the width of the roadway, what's reasonably necessary. I don't think that's necessary because I think, and this is, the opposing counsel was quibbling over this exhibit, saying, well, you know, it was gravel here, gravel there. This was his exhibit too. It's both of our exhibits. This is undisputed evidence, uncontroverted evidence. And so I think this is all the court needs to look to say, this is what the judgment, reverse and render, saying, court, enter a judgment that says this is the roadway. But in the alternative, I think the court would have jurisdiction to remand if the court chose to do so. In conclusion, I see my time is up. We greatly appreciate the court's time and consideration. We do ask that the court to render that we get 52 feet, or in the alternative, 20 feet as statutorily required, or in our last case scenario, the undisputed actual measurements from the roadway surface. So thank you, Your Honor, for your time and attention today.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Johnson, Mr. Worley, and I believe Mr. Plumley is here as well. We appreciate all of your briefing and your arguments today, and your case is now submitted, so you will be excused, and we will adjourn court. Thank you.
Second District of Texas now stands adjourned. For this meeting.